We began the sugya of Zman Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. And just to summarize our bottom line of yesterday's discussion, for those who weren't here or just want to review, we said that according to the Shitas Hagra, we separate between what we call the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyuma Mitzvah. Generally speaking, when you talk about Zman, you talk about the Zman of the Kiyuma Mitzvah, and you assume that that drags along automatically the Zman of the Maisa Mitzvah. We would never entertain this very creative idea in an abstract world that you can separate between the Zman of the Kiyuma Mitzvah and the Zman of the Maisa Mitzvah. And yet the Gog seems to do just that. And he's telling you that the Zman of the Mitzvah is Seisak Kochavim, because this Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a Mitzvah of Laila. Laila is engendered by Tzeis, and yet he advocates in favor of lighting the Ner Chanukah at Shkia. Shkia is a full 20 minutes before Tzeis, or in Vilna it's probably 50 minutes before Tzeis. And why would we enter into a suffix and advocate in favor of a mitzvah during a period of time which is suffix yom, suffix laila? So this paradox, in which on the one hand the Zman of the mitzvah is with laila, with tzeis, and on the other hand the brisa, and that's how we paskin, says mishatishka chama with shkia, which is way before tzeis, and we haven't yet entered into the vaday laila. To reconcile that paradox, we're going to have to assume that there's a difference between the Zman of the Maisa Mitzvah and the Zman of the Kiyuma Mitzvah. So when you talk about the Zman of the Kiyuma Mitzvah, that's governed by Laila, right? It's a mitzvah's Laila. And in that context, we need Seisak Kochavim. And if there's a time period during which a minimum time period during which the Ner Chanukah has to be lit, then that time period is going to have to begin with Seisak Kochavim. We already saw that the Rashba, for example, says that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is the mitzvah Sheva Laila, and therefore the inception of that mitzvah is Seisak Kochavim, as it is with Kriya Shema or any other mitzvah Sheva. And yet, on the other hand, the Gong advocates that we light with Shkia Sachama, which is way before Tzeis. So the answer is that the Zmana mitzvah is really Laila, because it's the mitzvah Sheva Laila. So you want to be Mekayim this mitzvah, the Kiva mitzvah is going to be with a Ner Dolek Balaila. But from the derivation, the Alfusa that we discussed at great length yesterday about Lo Yomish, where the Amud HaEish starts and it's activated even before the Amud HaAnan has vacated. So before the Silu Ka'anon, there's already an Eish, an Amuda Eish. That's going to, according to the Braisa, teach us that we should be Makdim Ner Chanukah, just like the Amuda Eish was Makdim before the Siluk of the Amud Hanan. And that's as far as the Maisa Mitzvah is concerned. So we have two Zmanim in Ner Chanukah. Not the two Zmanim of the Rashba. The two Zmanim of the Rashba were Laila and then Pirsum HaNes, which is not dependent upon Laila. And that's the ideal mitzvah, Kilchasa and Kimitzvasa. Here we have two definitions of Zman Ner Chanukah, but not, shall we say, because of a mitzvah min amuvchar or some sort of extra ideal element to the mitzvah by enhancing Pirsum HaNes. No. Based on the Yalfusa, we're going to derive the conclusion that the Maisa Mitzvah of Hadlaka has to be implemented by at the moment of Shkia Sachama, before Laila. And even though the Kiva Mitzvah and the Zmanat Mitzvah is going to be delayed until Laila, which means after Tzeis, we have this twofold structure, the Maisa Mitzvah, one point in time. See, a lot of what motivates the Gong, and I'll be right with you, Sam, is the following paradox. I call it the paradox of the 24th of Kislev. It's a really paradoxical situation. Because what happens? On the clock, you're basically at Tu B'Shvat. There's no connection between the 24th of Kislev and Chanukah. And yet, you can light the Ner Chanukah before Tzeis HaKochavim entering into the 25th. Now, if the days of Chanukah, as we saw in the Braisa, begin with the 25th of Kislev, what significance, what meaning could it have to light an Ner Chanukah on the 24th of Kislev? Why not? Maybe we should light an Ner Chanukah today. And we'll get one of these big neros. You know, they have these candles that last for a week, you know, during Shiva, if you've ever seen Rachman Lutzan. So a week before Hanukkah, right, on the 20th, let's say on the 18th of Kislev, you know, we're going to get this gigantic candle that's going to last. It's ridiculous, because a week before Hanukkah is not Hanukkah. So why do you call it an Ner Hanukkah? So the Pella is going to be that, as far as creating an Ner Hanukkah, I can separate between the entity of Ner Hanukkah, or shall we call it the Heft of Ner Hanukkah, and the Maisa Hadlaka. We've discussed over and over again that the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is the mitzvah Hadlaka. So you and I would have said that the mitzvah Hadlaka would be generated by the Zman of Hanukkah, but yet we're on the 24th, and we haven't even entered into Hanukkah yet. So how can you tell me that the mitzvah is generated by the, you know, by the Zman of Hanukkah? The answer is the Zman of Hanukkah is as far as the Heft of the Ner is concerned. And that's why at the end of this essay that we read yesterday, we came to the conclusion that the Gaon would require that you add enough oil into the lamp so that when you light it at Shkia, it would last way into Tzeis HaKochavim. Because again, what you're doing through the process of Hadlaka is you're creating something which will become, with the passage of time, a Ner Hanukkah. You can't call it a Heft of Ner Hanukkah on the 24th of Kislev. So what we're going to say is the following. The Maisad Lok, in which you create something, that's going to take place Lo Yomush Bahakdama, meaning before Laila. But the Kiyum HaMitzvah is going to be suspended, is going to be delayed until Laila, until you enter into the 25th of Kislev. So basically what you've done with this Hadlaka is you've created something which at the end of time, you know, with the passage of time, is going to become a Ner Hanukkah. So that's the choppy, complex nature of Ner Hanukkah according to the Vilna Gaon. That it's a Mais Hadlaka, which is a Mais HaMitzvah, but you haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah, you haven't even arrived at the Zman HaMitzvah on the 24th of Kislev. But since you set into motion a process which eventually will lead us to a chalashim there, and that overlaps with the Zman of Laila, therefore you're Makayim the mitzvah. Yes, Sam.
I'm still asking this, I'm sorry. But was this in the
pantry Friday? I thought I saw you yesterday. Wait a minute.
In the afternoon. I said,
oh, that was in the afternoon. Oh, that was in the afternoon. Okay.
So I was wondering if this is a way to conceptually accommodate the lighting of Erev Shabbos, where clearly you're lighter at the time.
Right. So it could be that even without the gaon in this whole shtickel Torah, we're going to have to differentiate between the Mais HaMitzvah and the Heft of the Ner. The Heft of the Ner, let's say we're going according to all Rishonim that you need Laila. If you need Laila, you can't possibly generate a Mais HaMitzvah Hadlaka Laila on Erev Shabbos, because then you'll violate the Shabbos. So Sam points out very well that what we're saying for the rest of the balance of Hanukkah, meaning Chol, really has to be accepted as this paradoxical definition of Hanukkah on Erev Shabbos, because on Erev Shabbos is no possibility of setting up a Hadlaka at the time of the Zman HaMitzvah. If I identify this mitzvah as a mitzvah of Laila, the Kiyum HaMitzvah depends upon Laila. What am I doing here? It's Erev Shabbos. And again, imagine, and this could happen very frequently on the Jewish calendar, that the first day of Hanukkah, meaning the 25th of Kislev, is Shabbos. Happens very often. So imagine, on Erev Shabbos, the 24th of Kislev, I'm lighting an Ner Hanukkah. In fact, there's no other way to do it. It would be suicidal not to do it in that way, because it's Shabbos. So your only option is to create a Ner, which with the passage of time is going to become a Ner Hanukkah.
Just one second.
And I just want to add something before Alan attacks me. Is that,
no.
You know, is that we have to introduce here the Taz, because the Taz argues with the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen says, I lit the Ner Hanukkah on Erev Shabbos very early. Right? Before Shki, obviously. Then I was Mekabel Shabbos. And I'm Yotzei the Mitzvah. Even though the candle went out before Tzeis. In other words, the principle of Kavsa Ein Zakikla, according to the Trumas Hadeshen, applies even on Erev Shabbos. Comes along the Taz and says, how can you say such a thing? You lit a Ner Hanukkah before the Zman of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, and now it went out. For sure you're going to have to relight it. Because you can't tell me that your act of lighting culminated in the creation of a Ner Hanukkah. Now, says the Taz, that only applies before Kabbalah Shabbos, obviously. So what happens if he lights the candle on Erev Shabbos? he's makabel Shabbos, and then the candle goes out. Now I'm in deep trouble. So the Taz is forced to introduce a concept. If you remember, we spent a lot of time in the Taz. The Taz fights with this concept called Hechsher Mitzvah. You remember the Truman Sadeshin introduced a concept called Hechsher. The Taz basically says that with the inception of Shabbos, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. When is the inception of Shabbos? You would tell me it's objective for everyone? It's subjective. Shabbos. It depends when you were Makabel Shabbos. So it comes out according to the Taz, the very moment I'm Makabel Shabbos, Shabbos is entered, and at that moment the candle is still lit. That's called a Chavtish Shel Ner Chanukah. Again, the Pell is still going to be the same gnawing question. It's the 24th of Kislev. So you are Makabel Shabbos, that's wonderful, but your Makabel Shabbos does not generate an inception of the 25th in Kislev.
Were you for real about Erev Shabbos that you would light the day before? According to
the Shabbos? No.
Why aren't
no.
you for real?
I'll tell you what it is. Because I'll tell you what it is. You're going to have what's called a tziruf. Now you and I might have said maybe the tziruf to Shabbos or to the Zman HaKiyum would be enough if there's enough ner, so you know there's enough oil that it's a ner dol. But there's got to be also a tziruf in Zman. And the very same Brisa in Masechta Sofer that we've been building this whole castle on, you know, on this Brisa, in which we have the derivation of Lo Yomish from the Amud HaYesh, that very same Brisa says V'Eila Hakdim. So you remember the Gemara on Daf Chav Gimel in Masechta Shabbos tells us a story about Debeso, who is it? Rav Yosef, I think. Anyway, his wife was late, so he told her to light earlier, based on Lo Yomish. And according to the Rambam, the Magen Mishnah says, we're talking about Ner Chanukah, not Ner Shabbos. So you should have lit earlier, because we have to follow the example of the Amud HaYesh. So then what she did was, because he criticized her as far as lighting too late, she went to the other extreme and she started lighting too early. V'ein makdimim. And you can't light too early. So for example, the Rambam Shita would be, and that's how the Gaon passes, again there are other Rishonim who disagree, that if you went ahead and you lit before Shkiyas HaChama, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. And that's built into this Braisa called Lo Yakdim. So it's unbelievable. We're looking at the Amud HaYesh, and we're trying to figure out b'machavi the show exactly what moment in time did the Amud HaYesh take over, or at least overlap with the Amud HaAnan. And that moment in time, which is going to be after Shkia, but before Tzeis, but not too early, and it's not going to be too late because the Amud HaAnan is still up there in the sky. That's the exact time for Ner Chanukah. Other Rishonim are going to say that you shouldn't have been makdim, but if you were makdim, then you were yotzei the mitzvah. But the Rambam is saying ein makdim ve'ein ma'achrim. So ein ma'achrim means you're going to have to light before tzeis, according to the Gaon's interpretation. And ein makdim means that you can't light before shkia.
So what happens on Friday?
Oh, so what happens on Friday? So let me just—I wanted to say just one last thing because I think I already lost the board. just one split second. What did I want to say? Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing. That if, at least during the week, we'll get to Friday in a minute because Friday is much more complicated. The Kshitas Hagon would be that the Maisa Mitzvah to coincide with Lo Yomish and the Amud HaYesh is going to be with Shkia, but since the Zman HaKiyum is postponed, is withheld, is suspended until Tzeis, therefore you'd have to have enough oil to last all the way to Tzeis. So imagine what period of time we have to cover over here. In Vilna, again, I'm just throwing out a number, as I keep telling you. I mean, we could probably research this in Dr. Google. You know, how long is it between Shkia and, say, sunset and the stars coming out in the city of Vilna? Because things haven't changed since the time of the Gaon. So let's assume, I'm throwing out a number, it's 50 minutes. According to the Gaon, to set up this Nair that you lit 50 minutes ago, meaning 50 minutes before it says, you're going to have to guarantee that there's enough oil in the Shemen to last for 50 minutes. It's a pellet. Because all the Rishonim Pe'echa, with the exception of the Gaon, say that the amount of oil that you have to put into a Ner Chanukah is to last for a half hour. The Gaon in the city of Vilna is putting the Telzi Yeshiva out of business. Because I want you to know, those candles that you get from the Telzi Yeshiva will not last for 50 minutes. I tried it.
They're like those colored birthday candles. You know, they go out.
50 plus a half hour?
Oh, well, 1 second. Okay, now you're ahead of me, Sam. Okay, now we get to Shlav Bet. Is it enough, according to the Gaon, that you have 50 minutes, meaning all you have to do is dip into Tseis HaKochavim? Then we have to go beyond that too, because the Gaon starts calculating his half hour from the beginning, the inception of the Zman Kima Mitzvah, which means Tseis. So now you have to have 50 plus 20, and you're going to end up with an hour and 10 minutes of oil. And all the posts can talk about a half hour's worth of oil. You know, we really got to get the big candles now. I would recommend that every night of Hanukkah, if you're lighting with wax candles, you use Shabbos candles. I'm not even sure. Shabbos candles, I think Shabbos candles will last for an hour and 10 minutes.
2 hours.
Well, now, Sam, 2 hours. So now Sam is asking another question.
But before we get there, Shabbos, isn't there even a more fundamental problem as well, according to the Gaon's and understanding the Rambam? Because Loma Acha means you can't go later than Seis. So almost by definition, no, lo makdimin from shkia, ma'achrin says chav. You have to light before says chav. By that point,
right? The Gaon, right. We saw in Ma'aser Rav, advocated that you light right before Meir. Right. You remember that?
So what he's ultimately saying, in another way of putting it, is that the zman kiyama mitzvah is from says and on. You're not allowed to light during the zman kiyama mitzvah. You have to light before.
Right.
How do I make kind of mitzvah when I light before Smakim? But if you want to light during Smakim, wait till after it says Chum. The Gaon say don't even want to light during Smakim.
So you, doesn't make again, any sense. The whole thrust of the Alfus of Lo Yomish is to separate between the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyama mitzvah. Now Sam is asking about Erev Shabbos. Here it gets a little bit complicated, because how much oil are you going to have to put in? So if you go like the Taz, that Kofsa Zokaklo on Erev Shabbos. Oh, I don't know about Motzi Shabbos. Let me get by Erev Shabbos, you know. So if you go like the Taz, and we're assuming that according to the Gaon, you have to have a Cheftza Shol Ner Chanukah post Tseis HaKochavim, what happens on Erev Shabbos? And the answer has to be that the Maisa Mitzvah starts very early, because we have to make sure it's before Shkia. And perhaps we're going to say that although the Zman Kiyum HaMitzvah during the rest of the week is with Seis on Shabbos, maybe this is Zman Kiyum HaMitzvah going to Taz, and maybe we can push this into the Gaon, even before you get to Tseis HaKochavim.
Yeah,
that would be pretty wild.
Isn't the
Truma
Sedeshin saying,
because he asked... No, the Truma Sedeshin says there's a concept called a Hechsher Mitzvah.
Yeah, that's right. You know? What he says, how do you make a bracha when it's not Zman?
He quotes the Gemara of Hechsher Mitzvah, right, that you can make a bracha on a Hechsher.
But basically what his concept is, it's a dual thing. You make the bracha, and the bracha itself is what is makshir. The zman is if it's zman, zman mitzvah.
Well, I didn't see that in the Truma Sedeshin.
That's why I wanted to learn the Truma.
Now, Rabosa, before we start a new sugya for today, which I have prepared for you, I want you to take a look in the Hare Kedem. Again, I don't know what you have here. Oh, so this may be my mistake. I'm looking at page Reish Tzadi, so I'm afraid you don't have that. Oh, I'm so sorry. So maybe if somebody wouldn't mind, or I don't mind just jumping over here, to make copies of these two pages. So Don, what you have to do for me, if you don't mind, is press A3. You know what I'm talking about, A3? Okay, to get it on the large page. You don't have to change the size of the print, because it's quite clear. So Rabosai, what you're going to look at now, and Amir Shem Don will bring back the photocopy if you want to see it inside, is another simon in the Hare Kedem on this very topic of the Gaon Shita of Zman Hadlok. So you'll see it in just a second. I'll just tell you where it is. Excuse me, it's on page Reish Tzadi, and it continues a little bit into Reish Tzadi Aleph, and it's called Siman Kuf Samach Tes. Now the first paragraph is what we've seen, a quote from the Rambam. The Rambam says not to light before Shkia Sachama, but rather with Shkia Sachama. And here we have two interpretations of the Rambam. We're going to take the Gaon's interpretation of the Rambam. And the Rambam is advocating that we light Ner Chanukah with Shkir. And then the Rambam adds four words. Lo ma'achrim v'lo makdimin. So that you shouldn't light Ner Chanukah after Tseis. That would be ma'achrim.
And you shouldn't light Ner Chanukah before Shkia. So he says the following. Hine. Yesod Divrei HaRambam. What's the source for the Rambam of Eima Achir Lo Makdimim? That's the Gemara on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis. And the Rambam understood that Lo Ma'achir V'lo Makdimim was a reference to Ner Chanukah. And that's already explicit in Masechta Sofrim, as we saw, and that's how the Magen Mishnah interprets the Rambam. So it comes out that according to the Rambam's understanding of Ner Chanukah, the entire period of Bein HaShemesh, I think that's what you were saying before, Yechiel, from Shkia and up to Tzeis, is the time for Hadlokas. Now I have a copy, so I have the original CD.
Thank you.
Just 1 second. I'm sorry. I just can't. I'm not. I'm not yet focused. I just want to get the ground rules here. So what do we have here on the ground? A very strange mitzvah. A mitzvah that is chal. The zman of the mitzvah is Bein HaShemeshos. Can you think of another mitzvah with the zman of the mitzvah is Bein HaShemeshos? Either we have mitzvahs that are called mitzvah yom or mitzvah laila, but Bein HaShemesh is a very strange time for a mitzvah. Okay, so again, we're going to introduce the Yalfusa from Lo Yomish. And he says, V'nir levarbas, that dehine yisod din, de be'inen lahadlik im shkia. Why do we have an early hadlaka before Tzeis HaKochom at the time of shkia, which is Bein HaShemeshos, who we cried to Lo Yomish. Shetzorch lahaktim, just like the Amud HaEsh was maktim, so the Ner Chanukah replaces the Amud HaEsh and it's maktim. In Cain. Kevan shebizman Bein HaShemeshos mitzad atzma uzman adloka mishum smeka di yomo lahokilo miskayim hachdino elim yadlik im shkiyos of mamish lechoshim kekodim zman chiyah. So what we're saying here is the following, that in Amud HaEsh we have this halacha generated called Kedima, and the halacha of Kedima is going to set up the Zman of Bein HaShemeshos as the Zman Adlaka. It's really paradoxical because Bein HaShemeshos is defined as Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila, but because of this Yalfusa from Lo Yomish, we're going to determine that that period of time, which is sort of, you know, the twilight zone, which is Yom, Laila, Yom, Laila, Laila, Yom, we don't know what it is, that's exactly where the Amud HaEsh would function. You know, it's almost like you could say the following. I'm not saying this b'tor lomdus, I'm just saying it as a memory device. That the Amud HaEsh would function at a time which is questionable. It's twilight. You know, there's no clear light, there's no clear darkness, and the Amud HaEsh is already going into motion, is active in order to give us some sort of ash, some sort of fire at a time when it's getting already dark because the sun has already set. By the way, Rabosa, do you know that, just as Mamish Batola, but you know that the surveys have told us that the most dangerous time for driving is Bein HaShemeshos. You know, the most accidents, you know, per moment, so to speak, happen during Bein HaShemeshos. It's kind of like not here and not there. You know, it's getting dark, but it's not dark. So you may have put on your headlights, and if you didn't put on your headlights, everything is fuzzy. So the Amud HaEsh is there to light up the way, you know, to give us clarity during the Bein HaShemeshos. Earlier than that, it's not Bein HaShemeshos, it's already Yom, and I don't need the Amud HaEsh, I have the Amud HaAnan. So the Amud HaAnan is going to continue because of the element of Yom, but yet I still need the Amud HaEsh. Okay, that's just a Maimar Abuzga. Oh, so the Rav wants to add a little bit more of an hesber for that. He says, "Tzarech bin, ma'u kiyum b'akdom azu d'ner chanuk." Can we put it into some sort of a perspective as a kiyum? And he says the following: that
there's a din of heker in Ner Chanukah. You may remember that we said that if a person is holding on to a Ner, it cannot function and serve as a Ner Chanukah. Also, we require, according to Rashi, an extra Ner in order that the Ner Chanukah should have a heker to it. And that's why we say that the ideal mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to light it outside. Rashi has another chiddush. The Gemara says on Daf Chaf Aleph, according to Rav, that Osul Ishtamish Lior Shal Ner Chanukah. Rashi says, why? You and I would have given a whole bunch of reasons why you're not allowed to enjoy the Ner Chanukah and use it for your personal use. Rashi says, because you'll be lacking in Hakera. Says Rashi, Aroa Omer, the spectator thinks, Litzarko Komadlik. He's doing it for his own benefit. And that's why he's benefiting from the Ner. If you benefit from the Ner, then that undermines the Hekero, that you're lighting it not for your benefit, but for the sake of the Ner Chan. Umeata nire, the Im Zman Adloka Yibalaila, he wants to add another element into the equation. This is very similar to what we discussed about Shraga B'tir Mai Mahani, which he's about to quote, that if you light during the day, then you have a problem, because how does this candle help you at all? But on the other hand, if you're telling me light at night because it's going to help you, then you're undermining the heker, because people are going to say it's at night and you're lighting for the sake of your own tzrachim, your needs.
Not if you're not using it.
Wait, Sam, just give me just 5 minutes of your time and then the floor is... I can't... Me'ata nira, the im zman adloka, hoya b'layla, b'choshech, we achra shkia b'bein hashmasha. So you've already passed shkia. There's no longer a twilight. It's mamish dark. Hayachaser beheker shel ner mitzvah. The onlooker might think that you're lighting it for the purpose of your own benefit. And we see how fundamental this requirement is in Ner Chanukah, that it be clear with a heker that everybody sees that it's for the sake of a mitzvah. Oh. Ulashem ner mitzvah. What converts this ner into a ner mitzvah? Be'inan sheyakdim, he should light it before the time in which he would benefit from it, and people would say, "Well, he's lighting it for his own good." Yadlikul ifnei zman hadlokas ner beso. So the Rav is assuming that at what point do you turn on the lights? I would have said you turn them on way before tseisakochom, but maybe back in the day they would turn on they would light the candles at tseis. So now we need a din of kedima. Now, how do you square that with the Masechta Sofer? The Masechta Sofer says we derive that from Lo Yomish, from the Yamud Eish. He says, Zeo di alfina mi Lo Yomish. What are we deriving from Lo Yomish? Sha'amud Eish yavo od bizman amud hanan. Why is that bearing? How does that become relevant to us? He says, Vehine, im yakdimu miba'od yom mamish, if you light the candle too early, zelo shayach, that's not a possibility, bishum deshraga v'tira mai mahani. So again, he's assuming that with Bein HaShmashos, the Ner is meaningful, except that's not normally the time in which you would light your Ner, but it does have some significance, it does have some benefit, and therefore it has a shame there. But if you light before Bein HaShmashos, when the sun is still giving us direct light, in that case, the Shraga V'tir Mai Mahani, it doesn't have a shame there. Ain't a love shame there called Ikar. Ukmochen, li achar shkia sachama. There also it doesn't have a shame there. It may have a shame there after shkia, when you get to tzeis, but it's lacking in a shame there mitzvah. So we need two shemos here. We need to pass the basic bar, the basic requirement of a ner that gives light at a time that night is that light is meaningful, and to boot, we need also another shame, not just a shame ner, but it's got to be a ner shel mitzvah. And the din of having to be a ner, a meaningful ner, that tells me you can't light before shkia. That's called in the language of the Rambam lo makdimin. The din that you can't light after tseis is a din not in the shem ner, but in the din of ner mitzvah, because that's when everybody's lighting their candles. And it looks obvious to everyone that you're doing it for your tzarko. V'zeuach shechidish ha-Rambam d'v'inon im shkiyos ha-mamish. The ein kan chama, right? The sun is no longer on the horizon. Levatil shem ner to tell me the shraga v'tir my mahana. The ein kan choshech, there's no darkness. Lafkias a heker of a ner mitzvah, and that's going to be this period of time that starts with shkia, and that's when we should light. And the parallel to this whole discussion is going to be
the Amud HaEch. Why? If the Amud HaEch would come before Shkia, then the Amud HaNan is absolutely active and powerful. We have light out. We don't need the H to light up the way for us. If, on the other hand, the Amud HaEch would continue into the Lila, so you don't have a requirement of what? Of Ner Mitzvah, and that's not a problem. On the Pufaker, here we want it to be Litzarka. The whole purpose of the Amud HaEch was to clear the pathway and illuminate the pathway for the Jewish people in the desert. But when it comes to Ner Chanukah, if the Amud HaEch is going to be very beneficial to us, that's going to undermine the Heker of Ner Chanukah. And then, just to finish this up, Sam, and then you'll say what you have to say, is Ulam Agram Zatzal Noag LaHadlik BeBein Hashmoshes Atzmo BeChol Hazman BeBein Hashmoshes Uka Gra. You remember we said in the name of the Gra that you should be lighting up to but not beyond Tseis HaKochav. So the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik took that, and that was his minog, that he would allow himself the entire period of time of Ben Hashmashes until Tseis.
As a starting point, you mean?
Right, not to start before Ben Hashmashes, but to start any time after Ben Hashmashes. He was laid back, he wasn't going to say, well, now it's Ben Hashmashes, on the first minute of Ben Hashmashes, that's when you should light. And I suspect, I don't know, he doesn't write this here, I don't think, that what Rav Moshe wanted to do, and that was what we discussed in the Chazon Ish, was to try to satisfy all the opinions. Because you remember, there are some opinions that say that the Zman Hadloka is Tseis HaKochavim, and possibly according to Rabbeinu Tam, that means we have to wait 4 mil after Shkia. So in order to be Yotzei all the Shitas, you don't want to start exactly at Shkia Sachama, you want to start a little bit later. But he has a different interpretation. He says that why would Rav Moshe allow himself that entire leeway of Ben Hashmashes? He says, "Hainu de bechol zman shel Ben Hashmashes." Meaning the entire period of time as a block, that's called Ben Hashmashes. So what we derive from the Amud HaEch, according to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, is that you should be lighting Chanukah candles during Ben Hashmashes, not before Ben Hashmashes, and not after Ben Hashmashes. Sam?
I just depending on some of the technicality. Rashi says the heker in Rashi is that you don't use it.
Right, right.
I guess he's not happy with that, and he has to invent something saying that the heker is that you're lighting it earlier.
No. What he's saying is that you need as much as you can to have a heker. Here are the four.
So you use it. Rashi says
here are the four halachas. Here are the four ingredients in creating a ner mitzvah. Number one, you need that you're not mishtamish bi ora. Number two, you need an extra candle that indicates clearly that the candle that you're lighting now is not for your purposes. Number three, you can't be holding the candle in your hand because then it looks like you're using it. Number four, the candle should be placed not on your table, but rather outside your house. These four halachas all tell me and demonstrate that this ner is a ner mitzvah. Again, you could always ask, what if I'm missing one of the four? You know, are they all four likuva and critical? Now the Rav wants to add a fifth. And this is the Chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik.
That
the Zman HaMitzvah is going to add a fifth element of proving and demonstrating that this is an Er Mitzvah. Why? Because your Zman HaMitzvah is going to be a Zman when it's not dark out. And if it's not dark out, then why are you lighting this Ner? This reminds us of whom? Help me out over here, Rav Lozar, me Metz, right? The same guy you ran. What was his language? Matimim, you remember? That's, I think, Rav Soloveitchik is not aware of this Sefer Yireyim, but I think the thrust of what he's saying is that what we're deriving from the Amud HaEch is a kind of Dabra Matmiya. Where do I see this? He says that if he lights after Choshech, right, he writes, Hayachaser beheker shel ner Chanukah. Notes, I guess it was commonplace for people to light their candles with Tseis HaKochavim. If he lights it earlier, then it's a Dovra Matmiya, and therefore it's clear to the onlooker that he's not lighting it b'toras litzarko. L'shem ner mitzvah v'idin sheyakdim v'adliku lifnei zman adlokas b'nei abayis. And I think what he means by b'nei abayis or ner beso is the common time that people in general would light ner.
And if he does later than that, then it flips the significance turns the other way around because people will think he's lighting it for
his own purposes.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And if he's lighting it for his own purposes, then batel hekeira.
So the one,
and there are many different elements here in halacha that all bolster or strengthen that status of the ner and the hekeira of the ner as a ner mitzvah. Five, we came up with five so far. I'm sure there are going to be others. You know, there are going
to
be more.
My only question is, it's tamurli that this is a mitzvah to Rabbanan, and the Gemara is playing around with Sufik Shabbos. He's getting close to the
time. Well, no, the Gaon is not talking about Shabbos, but I find it interesting that you mentioned the fact that that Ner Chanukah is Derabbanan, because of the following. On the one hand, you know, you could say Bein HaShemashes doesn't bother me. Okay, it's Sufik Yom, Sufik Lai. We only talk about a mitzvah Derabbanan anyway. So, for example, Tosis in Masechta Menachos advocates reciting the Omer during Bein HaShemashos, right. And one could ostensibly argue that it's a mitzvah Derabbanan b'zman hazeh, because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Omer, there's no mitzvah Sfiras Omer. So if it's only Derabbanan, what do I care? But I remember Rav Salveitchi, he used to give us shiurim before Shavuos about Kodshim, about Shtei Alechem, and about Kibsei Atzeres, and before Pesach he talked about the Omer. And I remember when he was discussing this Tosfos in Masechta Menachos, I think it's Samach Vav, I don't know Menachos, but that I remember. And Tosfos says you should recite the Omer with Shkia during Bein HaShemashes. So the Rav gave a whole nother pshat. And it had nothing to do with the fact that Sfiras Omer is the Rabbanan. Now, I don't think that that pshat is going to help us in Ner Chanukah, but let's think out loud. Who knows? Maybe we can think out of the box together. The Rav wanted to say the following. That in Sfiras HaOmer, there's a halacha of Yom Sofer. I'm going to write that on the board because this is a breakthrough concept that the Rav was Mechadish. If I can find the black marker here, where is it? It's probably right in front of my eyes. Oh, okay. This is called a Yom Sofer. Now, what that means, again, you'll forgive me for introducing here, Mamish, this is like classical Brisker Plum, it's very abstract. The Rav insists that the mitzvah of counting the Omer is not just what we call a Maisa HaGavra, but there's also an entity, there's also Cheftza, a personality, and that's the Yom itself. The Yom has to be converted into a Yom Sofer. And the Rav built a lot on this, for example, the Bahag, who says that you have to have continuity, each day has to be a Yom Sofer. So basically, the goal of my Sfira is not just my counting, but to impact on the day itself. The day changes and transforms to a Yom Sofer. Yeah, it's like Kiddush HaKodesh, to be Makadish the day as a Yom Sofer. I mean, not to take that literally, but... And the Rav said that to make a Yom into Yom Sofer, this was his Medayik from the Rambam, in Tefillah Sofer, you need to start the Sfira at the earliest possible time. Why? Because if you count after the day has begun, then only part of the day becomes Yom Sofer. Fisfasta, as the Israelis would say, because you've left out part of the day and it's not Sofer. So if that be the case, says the Rav, that's why Tosis advocates that you should light already, that you should count for yourself with Shkia. Why? Because even though Shkia is Sufik Yom, Sufik Laila, but on the tzad that it's now Laila, right? That's one of the two tzadim that Bein HaShemashes has Laila to. Then it's already the next day, and it requires you to make it into a Yom Sofer. Yeah. If you wait till after Shkia, after Tzeis HaKochavim, after Bein HaShemashes passes, then on the side of Bein HaShemashes is already Laila, it's no longer Yom Sofer, because Yom Sofer requires that I count the entire day. And the Rav pointed out that we shouldn't confuse this with Zekeli Yadveir. In other words, it's not that I embellish the mitzvah by starting, what we call Zriza Makdimim Levitzis. You know, I count the Omer at first opportune moment, which, by the way, is in general a good idea to do because we always forget for yourself. So it's best to get a minion, and you know that's your kavu kvius, and you count the Omer.
But the Rav said that the idea of counting the omer at the earliest possible time is built into the very fabric of the mitzvah. It's not something that part of this universal concept of zrizus. It's because the day has to be a day sofer. The entire day has to be sofer. And that's why the Rambam, who holds that Ksiris HaOmer is kosher even by Yom, nevertheless the Rambam insists that you count the Omer at the beginning of the day, because there's an additional element here of making the day into the Yom Sofer. And therefore we want to count even a time period that would be Sofek Laila, and that's called Bein HaShemashos, and that's why Tosfos advocates that we light with Shkia. With Shkia. Now, does this, give me a minute here, Rabosai, everybody can think on their own, does this have any connection? This could be interesting. I just thought of an idea. Alright, sharpen your knives, guys. you're gonna get angry at me for this, but the Beis HaLevi and in a minute I want to mention the Pre-Chadash as opposed to the Beis HaLevi. So first I'll present the Beis HaLevi Shita, is that if the candle goes out, let's say 5 minutes after you light the candle, we pass in Kavsa, Ein Zokeh Lo, says the Beis HaLevi, you have to relight the candle. Why? Because of Chashodah. Right? Do you remember this concept? Chashodah. Somebody passes by and he sees that he doesn't see, let's say, a Ner Chanukah in your window. He doesn't know that 5 minutes ago you lit the Ner Chanukah. He thinks that you're not interested in Ner Chanukah. How does the Beis HaLevi know that the concept of Chashod applies to Ner Chanukah? Because the Gemara says if you have a Chos, Jeshlosh Nei Psoch, and you have to light on both Psochim. So people going down this street will see the candle on this side, and people going down this street will see the candle on that side. Your house is situated in such a way that there are people here and there. Comes along the Beis HaLevi and he says the following, that you don't make a bracha on Chashod. No bracha. That's the Beis HaLevi. Why? We have a principle in Hilchos Brachos that you don't make a bracha on what's called Himanus Mi'isu. In other words, if you're avoiding a violation of an Isur, let's say, for example, you put a piece of treifa meat in front of me. I don't make a bracha. And even if I would be actively involved in obviating and in circumventing the violation of a law, I would still not make a bracha. In fact, the Rosh seems to assume that on Bedikas Chametz there shouldn't be a bracha. I mean, he ends up with a bracha for a different reason, because Bedikas Chametz is really Himanus Mi'isur. In other words, you don't want to violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So there shouldn't be a bracha on Bir on Bedikas Chametz. But he says that in addition to Himanus Mi'isur, there's also positive essay of Tashmisa, whatever it is. But again, we have this principle that to avoid an Isur, we don't make a bracha. The classical example of this is what's called Bedika Simoni Kashrus. We have two Simoni Kashrus in Behemoth, Mila Gera and Mafresis Parso. So let's say, for example, the animal's legs were injured a little bit, so you can't check the Parso. So you check the Mila Gera. I mean, again, you could have many different scenarios where you're checking the Kashrus. Now, in Bedikas Chometz, we make a bracha, but in Bedikas Simoni Kashrus, we don't make a bracha. So the Rosh says, because Bedika Simoni Kashrus is not a mitzvah, it's not a positive command, Torah doesn't ask you to run around checking Simoni Kashrus. In fact, I have to admit that that's a mitzvah I never fulfilled in my life, and not once. But there's no mitzvah. It's only the avoidance of a losasa. And to avoid a losasa, we don't make a brach. Says the Beis HaLevi, Chashoda is not a mitzvah sase, it's avoiding an avera. The Torah says v'isem nekir, which means you have to do everything in your power to make sure that no one suspects you of violating an aver, and that's called chashod, and that expresses itself in many different ways. And one of the main topics here in chashod would be how it relates to a different concept that sounds almost identical, and that's called, what's it called?
Marasayim.
Excellent. Marasayim. So what's the relationship between Chashod and Marasayim? Big to-dos of that. The Pre-Chodesh says, he doesn't talk about Kavsa, which is the Beis Halevi's case, he goes back to the Gemara of Chatzis Sheish L'Shtei Pesachim, and he says that since you have to light in both Pesachim, you're chayav in a bracha on both Pesachim. So therefore he says that when you light on the north side, you should have in mind that with that bracha, you're pattering up the lighting on the south side. But if, for example, you were masik or whatever it was, and the bracha is not chal on the south side, you're going to have to make another bracha. And that's against the Beis Halevi, who understands that you don't make a bracha on chashol. Okay. So why do I mention this to you? Because I think what the Pri Chodesh is doing over here is something absolutely fascinating. He's taking a mitzvah aseh, and he's formulating a los aseh, meaning don't expose yourself to a situation in which the onlooker will suspect you of non-fulfillment of that essay. Don't do that. And by not doing that, you're going to fulfill an essay, a positive mitzvah. So let's understand.
And what's the essay?
The essay is Ner Chanukah. Now, why is the Pri Chodesh saying you're going to make another bracha on the second chatzer? Because since there's a chashada, in order to do whatever you have to do to avoid that chashada, meaning to guarantee that the onlooker sees that you have an Ner Chanukah, that now, chashada, gets jacked up to the level, or shall I say, to the category of a mitzvah. How do I know that according to Pri Chodesh it's a mitzvah? Because again, we don't have a bracha on himanus v'isur. The Beis Halevi understood that if I have to light mishum chashada, that's just to avoid the isur of v'is and the kiyum, which is like an isur essay, that I shouldn't expose myself to a suspicion. You don't make a bracha on that. Whatever you have to do, says the Beis Halevi, to avoid suspicion, that's not a bracha. That doesn't get a bracha. So how can the Pri Chodesh argue with this? I mean, this is mamish in the Rishonim. The answer is that the Pri Chodesh held that there's a unique halach in Chanukah that avoiding chashada becomes an essay, becomes a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Otherwise, how can the Pri Chodesh justify making a bracha on the second Pesach, which is only mishum chashada? So chashada now becomes a barometer, so to speak. It's a base yad for the kli that allows me to define something as a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. As soon as I see a case of chashada, then I know I have to make a bracha according to Pri Chodesh, because chashada becomes jacked up to the level of a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So just one second. Now, let's see if that's going to help me. What I want to suggest is that perhaps the reason, wait just one second, the reason, or the answer to this question, this anomaly of the paradox of Ben Hashmashos and Ner Chanukah, meaning if you hold that the time for Ner Chanukah is Ben Hashmashos, which is Safek Yom and Safek Laila, so the Rav comes up with this superstructure which is called Heker and Ner Mitzvah, right? That the dirty Ben Hashmashos, they don't anticipate that you're lighting with Tzarko. Perhaps based on something else the Rav said in the context of Sfiras HaOmer, we can come up with another definition, another explanation why we liked with Shkia entering into Ben Hashmashos. And the answer is because I'm not allowed to leave my house without an Ner Chanukah. The entire day should be a Yom Mu'ar. Okay? Right? Instead of Yom Safur, it's Sfiras HaOmer, Yom Mu'ar B'ar Ner Chanukah. Why? Because according to Pri Chodesh, if part of the day that requires Hadlokah is left out, if he postpones the Hadlokah, then what do we get? Chashad. Because somebody passes by and he says, well, you've gotten to the time period, there's already a Chashad. Chashad is a losas. And the Pri Chodesh says that Chashad is going to define the nature of the mitzvah. It's going to be the barometer for the mitzvah, and therefore you make a bracha whenever there's chashada. So what I'm suggesting is that in the light of this discussion, perhaps Ben Hashmashos is justified, because if there's a part of the day, I should say a part of the Ben Hashmashos, or I don't mean a part in terms of cutting it up into pieces, what I meant to say is that if the inception of Ben Hashmashos means that it's Laila, then the whole day from the beginning of Laila
has to be supplied with a Ner Chanukah, because otherwise the onlooker is going to say, what's going on over here? He's not lighting a Ner Chanukah. Did anybody follow what I was saying?
Yeah, but okay.
I'm just throwing out an idea that just occurred to me as we were speaking, that maybe the Bein HaShemashos of Sfiras HaOmer, the way the Rav understood it, could help us, upon the expression shed a light, on the Bein HaShemashos of Ner Chanukah. That Bein HaShemashos of Ner Chanukah is because I want the earliest moment of time, that part of the day, which lends itself to Ner Chanukah, to be utilized and to be supplied with an Ner Chanukah. Why? Because otherwise the onlooker, the spectator, is asking, where's your Ner Chanukah? And that's Chashadah. So you're telling Chashadah is a different mitzvah. And now you're going to Beis HaLevi. Chashadah doesn't impact on Ner Chanukah at all. Chashadah in Ner Chanukah is just an application of V'yisam Nikim L'fei Hashem. Or Maris Ayin, as you call it. But according to the Prichadash, that Chashadah impacts not just on this general requirement of, you know, avoid any suspicion, but it changes the and determines the whole nature of Ner Chanukah. And maybe we could say that Ner Chanukah should be lit at the earliest possible time, so that the entire period of time for Ner Chanukah is lit. I can't say the entire Yom, and probably in Sfiras HaOmer I can't say the entire Yom either, because assuming Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah halayla, that's a gigantic machlok shi the Bahag and the other Rishonim. Can you light Sfiras HaOmer during the day? Let's assume according to all Rishonim, there's mine Ketziras HaOmer, there's mine Sfiras HaOmer Ahayinu Hach. Ketziras HaOmer has to be Balayla, and so too Sfiras HaOmer has to be Balayla. So the same thing applies in Chanukah. If Chanukah is a mitzvah Laila, I want to make sure the entire Laila is supplied with the Ner Chanukah, just like in Sfiras HaOmer, the entire Laila is supplied with the Sfira. And that means that we should dig into Bein HaShemashos.
Why not light exactly at Seis? Why not tie yourself to people?
Because the Laila begins with Shkia. In one side of the Sfira, right? So just like we said...
So then you never... Either you have to come up with a Zman then, because
the Zman is Bein HaShemashos. Why? Because one side of Bein HaShemashos is to say that with sunset the night begins, and that's why we're going to count the Omer. Why are we going to count the Omer with Shkia? Because since it's one side to say that we're already in Laila, and the entire Laila from the beginning of the possibility has to be included, I can't delay my Sfiras HaOmer until the end of Shkia. I mean to say, till Tzeis HaKochavim. Why? Because if I delay my sphere till Tzeis HaKochavim, there may be a chunk of the Laila that wasn't counted, and I need an entire Yom Sof. Or Laila Sfura. I'm saying the same thing, that maybe the entire Laila has to be equipped with a Ner Chanukah because of this concept called Chashadah. And if they establish that the entire Laila has to do it, it's not just Rizam Akdim L'mitzvahs. Therefore, already at Bein HaShemashos, you should be supplying your Ner. The only problem is, Shraga B'tira my Mahan, does it have a Shem Ner? And the answer is, once the Shkia Sachama, then it has a Shem Ner. If you would be Makdim before Shkia Sachama, that's Yom Mamish, it doesn't have a Shem Ner. And furthermore, if I assume that Ner Chanukah is a Mitzvah Laila, before Shkia Sachama, it's Yom Mamish. It's the 24th of Kislev.
But who cares? Because that's only Bishum Shraga. All you have to do is worry that whenever he passes by, he sees a lit, and there is dolos. You don't care that whether it has the shame.
No, I'm saying there's two conditions. You know, Chashodah comes in from the back door. I don't want you to think that the entire enterprise of Ner Chanukah is generated, is determined by Chashodah. What I'm saying is that the Zman, the Tchilas HaZman for Ner Chanukah would be generated by Chashodah, meaning that the entire day should be included in Ner Chanukah, even Bein HaShemashos, which is maybe the night time, but maybe it's not the night time, but it may be the night time, and therefore supply the bias with the Ner Chanukah. So now you ask me before Shkia Sachama, I have two strikes against you. Number one, it's Yom Mamish before Shkia Sachama, so you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is Balayla. Number two, I don't even think it has the status of a Ner because Shraga B'tira
we're talking about the second Ner now. We're not talking about the first Ner.
Any Ner. What I'm saying applies to any Ner. Any Ner would have to be lit with Shkia Sachama, whether it's the first, the second, and why? Because I have to fulfill my mitzvah at the earliest possible time of Laila. When is the earliest possible time of Laila? Bein HaShemashos. Why is that so? It's only a suffix. That's the Rav's problem. And based on that problem, he creates this whole structure. I'm suggesting that let's go back to Sfiras HaOmer. Tosfos advocates that Sfiras HaOmer should count with Shkia. Why would you be counting with Shkia? You're telling me tonight is the fifth day of the Omer.
What do you mean it's the fifth day of the Omer? I'm still in the fourth day of the Omer, at least according to one side in the Suffolk of Benish Mashal. So why are you counting the sixth day with Shkir? The answer is because in the halacha here, the Torah says that you can't leave any part of the day out of being a Yom Sofer. Don't strip any or deny any part of the day its status as a Yom Sofer. And since Ben HaShemashas has a quasi-status or a suffix status of Laila, you don't want to skip over that part of the Laila to get it, to make it into a Sofer. And maybe you could say the same thing about Chanukah. I'm just thinking, you know, thinking about that. Yes,
I have two comments. First of all, I don't understand the Rav's idea about the Yom Sofer. If the parallel is Kiddush HaKodesh, Kiddush HaKodesh you can Kaddish even towards the end of the day. The whole day is called Kiddush HaKodesh or Kiddush.
Just 1 second. Sphere's Omer is not a Kiddush process.
No, I'm saying, but I thought you were drawing the concept from there.
Wait a second, Sam. In Kiddush, you're the one who mentioned Kiddush HaKodesh. I was trying to look for an anchor. No, what I'm saying is that there's a fundamental difference between Yom Sofer and Yom Kiddush.
Okay.
When you say L'mafreya, you're going to say L'mafreya with an act of Kiddush, meaning the Yom, by its very nature, is Mekudosh. Like, for example, in this is a whole long discussion, but Leil Rosh Hashanah, right? A lot of people say, based on the Chayodom, that if you forgot to say Amelech HaKadosh on the night of Rosh Hashanah, so Ein Machzir Noso. Why? Because in Rosh Chodesh, there's a similar loch that if you left out Yal V'Yovah Ma'ariv in Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to impeach Mones. Ein Mekadoshin Sa Chodesh B'Layil. So the Rav Zichron Levracha gave a 4-hour lecture to slug up this Chayodim. Chayodim is quoting Rav Abel. I don't know if you ever heard of Rav Abel. A friend of mine, a very close friend of mine, married Rav Abel's granddaughter. She's gone already, unfortunately, but he's remarried. So what was basic, again, if you have the Shirul Zecha Abu Mari, the Yard Sashim, there are like 40 pages on this topic, but the basic thesis of Rav Soloveitchik is that that Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah are two different entities. Rosh Chodesh has no Kedushas Hayom. And if it has no Kedushas Hayom, the fact that that at night you left out Rosh Chodesh, that's fine. But in the case of Rosh Hashanah, which has Kedushas Hayom, the Laila is no less part of the Kedushas Hayom than the day. And the Kedush Sayom generates a chiv to say a matbe of Mahamelech HaKadosh. That's critical at night, no less than it is during the day. All I'm saying is that Yom Lamafreya, Sam, would be very appropriate for Kiddush. Again, you have to know how it kicks out, how it pans out in the case of Rosh Chodesh, but theoretically, Yom Sofer has nothing to do with Kiddush. The Rav wants to say that if you count the day, then from the very second that you counted, the day is counted. But we don't go to Mafreya and say that if you counted at 10 p.m. at night, that it was counted already at 6 p.m. when the day entered, the ushering in of the day. So since the day ushered in at 6 p.m. with Bein HaShemash, the coin to one side that it's Laila, therefore that piece of time has to be Sofer. Okay, that's the shtickle Torah to explain Tosus in Menachem.
Let me get to my punchline, okay? My punchline was that when you want to call it a Yom Sofer, that's because you announce that this day is so-and-so, so you're talking about the whole day. By Hanukkah, the candle won't be burning in 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours. So to call it Dolok, based on what? You're not pronouncing this Hanukkah, you're burning a candle. When it's finished, it's finished. So it's just as bad not to have it burn 3 hours into the night as not having it burn a half hour earlier.
No, you're right, Sam. I never meant to say that there's a din of Yom Sofer here. What I meant to say is that since Chashado becomes your barometer for the nature and the definition of Mitzvah Ner Chanukah to such an extent that when there is Chashado you can make a bracha, that's the Shita of the Pri Chodesh, then in that light, in that context, you might even go a step further and say that if this chashod, because you didn't light at the moment that you should have lit, that itself generates a mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And if mitzvah Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah shebalayla, again, that's a major assumption which is very iffy, but if you grant me that premise, then since Bein HaShemashos initiates at least a suffix laila, because Shkia has already taken place by Yerevah Yvoker, and now it's the second day, the next day, So then I don't want to leave out the Bein HaShemashas. Why? Because if I leave out the Bein HaShemashas, so that's the earliest time of Laila, again in one suffix, then the onlooker, the spectator, is asking, well, Laila has arisen, has descended upon us, excellent, descended upon us, and guess what? There's no Ner Chanukah. So maybe just like we don't want to leave out a part of the day for Yom Sofer, we don't want to leave out part of the day of Chanukah for the vultures to think, oh, I'm suspicious. He's not involved in the mitzvah. So what we want to do is, we want to get the Ner Chanukah at the earliest possible time. If I said Yom Sofer and Ner Chanukah, leave that out.
Can one say, is it possible to say, if we're doing it in Shmushada, you light the second candle, that if you made a bracha, you would not be making the bracha.
Second candle, you mean the case of the chotzer?
Yeah, okay.
Now I know what you mean by the second candle.
You have a window on one side, a window on the other side.
Right.
Okay, and you're doing it in Shmushada, that he'll say you didn't light. Maybe you should, the only bracha you should make is Shas and Nisim. You should not make Lahadlik there, because what's generating it is the Shash being above the person who is seeing, of the Roa, not the doing. So since the whole Shash is from the Roa side, you'd only make sure.
But I would say the following, Alan, according to the Pri Chodosh, if the Roa suspects you of not supplying your house with an Ner Chanukah, then that is a bias. And therefore, you're chayv in the mitzvah of lahad. In other words, you and I would say the bias is the four walls that surround the house, correct?
Yeah.
The fact that I have one entry here and one entry there, that doesn't mean we have two batim. But in Ner Chanukah, according to Pri Chodosh, in Hebrew we call it the modeid, I guess in English the barometer to define whether it's one house or two houses, is not the physical structure, the continuity of the walls, but rather the onlooker. If the onlooker says, hey, look at his bias, do you see a Ner Chanukah? I don't see a Ner Chanukah. That means that his bias doesn't have a Ner Chanukah. The other half of his house on North Avenue has a Ner Chanukah. That's a different bias. Each bias requires a Ner Chanukah. Imagine, Rav Bosa, if you were the proud owner of two batim. I have the shaila now, because I took a place here in Rehov Rabbi Meir, and I own an apartment in Har Nof.
Right.
Here's my shaila. Mamshalach lemaisa. I better paskin this within the next month, because Chanukah is around the corner. Do I have to light in both houses? So normally what I would do is, I would say like this: the first couple of nights of Chanukah I happen to be in Har Nof, I'll light in Har Nof. The last couple of nights I'm here in Katamo, and a light here in Katamo. But maybe according to Pri Chodosh, I should be making two brachas on Ner Chanukah. I should make a bracha Ner Chanukah in Har Nof, let's say, from Har Nof, and then when I drive in my car a few minutes later or a half hour later, I don't know how long I have to stick around there in Har Nof, and I get to Katamo, and I should light an entirely different look with a bracha.
The Beis Halevi might say you have to do both also. Even the Beis Halevi might say you have to do both.
That's Mamish two batim.
Yeah.
Even the Beis Halevi would agree that that's two batim. Yeah,
right. But you'll come back and be after Tzeis, so you're going to Rambam and you can't let him.
Oh, okay. But I'm saying, let's say I don't have a problem, Zman Hadlaka
is a motorcycle.
Right? Like, for example, today the minig is that even if you come back at midnight, you're light.
Right.
And that's Rav Vosna's truth. You remember that the guy who his wife could light at the time of Hadlaka, but he's going to come back at midnight. As he tells him, he advocates he should light and when he comes back from work. You know, that whole Ashkof in Ner Chanukah.
But it also, it's an extension of the question. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed to ever go away for a couple of days on Chanukah, because someone's going to see your house and see you have
to show
you. Or, for example, let's say you own a warehouse. Okay, maybe a warehouse is not called a bias. You have to learn Hilchus Mezuzah.
Yeah, but if you say, Rabbi, that if you're going to go, I don't think you really want to go so far as to say, if he's a choshesh you and you don't like that, you're not yotze with Neiros Chanukah.
No, I'm saying if he's choshesh you because there's a part of your bias that he sees and he can't see anything else, that becomes a bias. That generates a kind of Neiros Chanukah.
He didn't like that, so you're really over? I mean, you're not really over.
He passes by.
He passes, you know,
and that whole wing of your house,
you know,
is exposed to Rishus Harav. And there's no Ner Chanukah there. Everybody agrees you have to light. the machlokas is going to be, do you make a bracha? The Beis Halevi is going to say, this is himanus mi'isur, because it's only mi'isur nikim, you don't make a bracha on that. And therefore the Beis Halevi says that if kavsa, zakakla, but not with a bracha, not for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, you already fulfilled the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because we pass in kavsa and zakakla, you're going to have to rekindle the light. But only in chashada. It's like, yeah, putting the container that says almond milk on the table, yeah, so they realize that you're eating fleishiks with almond milk.
But, you know, say,
but you're not going to make a broth. Counsel in pre-chadosh, and he says, no. If there's chashada, then there's a new machayev based on chashada, a bias, which generates a chiyuv ner chanukah. My nafkimina. Who cares whether you call it himanus mi'isur or you call it a new definition of a bias that generates a chiyuv? Nafkimina is going to be the bro.
No, the third thing is the chashada, though. The chashada that is a separate thing. That's an avera of being kosher to sharing.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. The Beis HaLevi would say it's just an avera. You don't make a broch on himanus mi'isur. Let's give God a chance if you don't want
it. So in Jerusalem, particularly, there are many buildings that have apartments that are being used for commercial purposes, particularly professionals, doctors, lawyers, dentists, accountants, right? So you have an entire building and five of the 20 apartments are professional offices with a mezuzah on the doors. Is there an obligation to light Hanukkah?
I would say no. I'm not exactly sure why you have to put on a mezuzah.
Why not Shiddush?
Because we're not learning Hilchas Mezuzah, Baruch Hashem. Mezuzah would take us 6 months. But in Hilchas Mezuzah, I would say if you don't sleep in your office,
right,
you never stay over that late to sleep in your office.
What if you did? What if you had a cat?
Oh, that's interesting. Now your secretary comes in the morning. Let's say that particular morning she came very early. Right, John? So you come early to the shtibl, so somebody says to you, did you sleep over last night? That's it. John saw me in the shtibl the other day very early. He says, oh, you slept over at one. So if you sleep over, then maybe it has a din of a bias, and then you chayav in a mezuzah. I don't believe you'd make a bracha on an office unless you sleep there.
But there's still a concept.
Oh, some, I think, say that eating there is also considered dira. Oh, now I have to add another element to the equation. What happens if you have an office where you don't sleep but you eat there? And this is going to be the issue of achsenoi when we get to that sugya mitzvah, because very often the achsenoi goes home to sleep, and he's only by you for eating purposes. And if that be the case, is that called a bias as far as he's concerned? Can he be considered one of the members of the bias if all he does is he eats there?
Obviously.
And by the way, this is going to completely confuse us in Ner Chanukah, because very often, especially on a Shabbos, you might be invited out. So you're going to light the Ner Chanukah in your house, but you're not eating there. So what is your house? Is your house where you eat? Is your house where you sleep? This halacha is relevant even to Ner Shabbos. Should I light Ner Shabbos here in my own house, but I'm going to eat the meal by you? Or maybe I should light by you, or at least be yotze with your wife who's lighting Ner Shabbos. So I'm just saying, in Hilchas Bias or Dira, we always have to know what constitutes Dira. And there are three possibilities. One possibility is where you sleep. The other possibility is where you eat. And the third possibility is where you do both. And if you do only one and not the other, that's not considered Dira. So all these issues in mezuzah are going to be relevant. Now, what about Chanukah? If you take the pre-Chodesh's approach, I don't know how to define this, but there's a whole new variable in the equation. Does he expect a Ner Chanukah? I don't know, again, I can't give you the details, you know, the criteria. But let's say, for whatever reason, he has every reason to believe that you're chayef in Ner Chanukah. And he's not an Amor. So I'm not talking about some ignoramus. I don't know if the Halacha has to worry about an ignoramus. But just grant me this theoretical construct that the spectator anticipates a Ner Chanukah. Then according to the pre-Chodesh, that makes it into a bias. And you're going to make a bracha on that.
That's my point. The entire apartment building, out of 20 apartments, let's say only two are offices.
Oh, only two are offices.
I'm bringing it down.
There are 18 houses that have a candle and two don't have.
Right.
Right. But again, you know, I don't think that that's chashada. I don't think that that would generate chashada, because chashada presupposes that there's a bias. In other words, once there's a bias...
But how can the outside person know? The roe doesn't know.
I understand, but I'm saying, you know, Hashanah doesn't mean that I have to stand on my head and walk around to make sure that everyone thinks. Hashanah is only when I have a bias and he's accusing me, okay, in quotation marks, right? He's accusing me of not fulfilling my obligation. So I start with a bias. If an office is not a bias, then, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, if let's say I have a neighbor who doesn't light Ner Chanukah. He's not religious, he's a Tinuk Shadishka. I spoke about this before, the OU, about the Kiru. So until you're Makarev him, he doesn't light Ner Chanukah. Baruch Hashem, you should know that Ner Chanukah is a very popular mitzvah, even amongst non-from Jews. I'm not sure if they do it exactly the way Halacha advocates, and I'm not sure what's next to the Ner Chanukah, if you know what I mean. But it's a very popular mitzvah. So I have a neighbor, he's so assimilated and he's so cut off from Judaism, he doesn't even light a Ner Chanukah. So does that mean that I have to light his Ner Chanukah for him? Hashanah doesn't obligate me. If I already have an obligation of Ner Chanukah, then I'm going to define the parameters of Ner Chanukah, what my obligation entails, by Hashanah. And then Hashanah comes up to it. But if I come to the conclusion that the office is not a bias, and therefore there's no chiyuv Ner Chanukah, I don't have to run around asking Hashanah. There are people on the street who think, hey, what's going on? There's no Ner Chanukah.
How come there's Hashanah if I such things like that? Why don't you worry about Hashanah that they're going to see you're not wearing tefillin, and they say you didn't put on tefillin in the morning? I mean, is Eilat over Sof?
Again, we're not learning the sugya of Chashadah. The Encyclopedia Talmudic has 20 pages on Chashadah. Right. I mean, why is there no Chashadah in tefillin? If you ask me for my knee-jerk response, I would say that if you have a continuous mitzvah that requires you to fulfill the mitzvah from time T1 until time T2, which is 24 hours later or 12 hours later, then there's no such thing as Chashadah. Why? Because Chashadah in a continuous mitzvah is ridiculous. You know, now he's not wearing tefillin, but he'll fulfill tefillin tomorrow or later on today and so forth and so on. Okay, Rabbosai, now we start the sugya for today. The brand new sugya for today. So please open up the Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. And it's a funny kind of situation where my 8:30 class is already moving very much ahead of this class. So I want to sort of, close the gap. So let's see if we can take a look at this sugya on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. So we're looking at Itmar. Okay, now let's see if we can find the word Itmar here. In my Gemara, and I assume it's the same in yours, it's approximately 12 lines up from the bottom. And the last word in the line is Itmar. The first word in the line is Omer Rav Yosef. You have such a thing? Again, if you have the classical, you know, Vilna Shas, then there's an L shape over here. In other words, it gets wide on the bottom. If you look in the thinner lines, you'll count up about three lines before they get wide. Itmar, Rav Omar. You have that? Ein madlikim miner liner. That you cannot use one candle to light another candle. So in other words, each candle has to be lit on its own. Ushmuel Omar madlikim. And this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is going to repeat itself over and over again in different scenarios and in different contexts. For example, the Gemara is going to wonder about tzitzis. Are you allowed to take tzitzis off one beged and put it on another beged? And so forth and so on. Now on this sugya, the Gemara is going to present a major suffix as to how we can understand this principle of Rav called Ein Matirin, Ein Madlikim Miner Liner. One understanding is going to be what's called Bizui Mitzvah. Bizui Mitzvah means that in a sense he's insulting the Ner Chanukah by taking some of the Ner and some of the oil to light another Ner. The Gemara is going to question whether that should apply in the case of another Ner Mitzvah, meaning from one Ner Chanukah to another Ner Chanukah. So that's not really Bizui Mitzvah. You're not lowering the status. You're just getting another Ner Chanukah. But then the Gemara offers a second explanation of Rav, which you'll see three lines up before the end of the Daf. And that's called the Kamakrish Mitzvah. And to be Makrish Mitzvah means to take away from the Mitzvah. To take away from the mitzvah. Do you see that three lines up from the bottom? Makrish mitzvah. So if you take a look at Rashi,
which is four lines up before the end of the page in Rashi, he says the michse, it looks like Kemanda Shakil Nahora. He's taking some of the light away, he's diminishing the Ner Chanukah. Why? So Rashi says, Vishoev Ktsas Milachluchis Shmono, that when he lights another candle from this candle, he inadvertently he will remove some of the oil, he's pulling out some of the oil, and therefore he's diminishing, which is called a kluche, the Ner Chanukah. So again, one way of understanding Rav and why he says Eiman Likamin Eile is called Bizui Mitzvah. And the Gemara thinks that Bizui Mitzvah would not apply if you... I should have something in front of me here. I don't know, this is not a good demonstration, but... So Bizui Mitzvah, the Gemara thinks, would not apply if this is an Ner Chanukah and he wants to light another Ner Chanukah and he just takes this Ner and he attaches it to this Ner. That's not called Bizui Mitzvah. But let's say he takes a match and he puts the match to the Ner Chanukah, and then he takes that new light that the match is lit up and he lights another candle, even if that candle's in Ner Mitzvah, that's called Bizui Mitzvah. Why? Because the contact between what's called a Kisem, Kuf Yud Samach Mem, which we're calling a match, and the Ner Chanukah, that's a Bizui Mitzvah. Then the Gemara offers a different explanation of Rav. And that explanation is Mishum Akhushe Mitzvah. Akhushe Mitzvah means when he draws from this candle to light another candle, he is diminishing some of the oil. Or at least Rashi says Michse, that's what it looks like. I don't know if in physics he's actually doing so. So the Gemara says, Mai Beinayhu, what's the difference between these two explanations of Rav? Ika Beinayhu Deka Madlik Mishraga L'Shraga. If he's lighting directly from one Ner to the other. If you take a look at the Rashi on the bottom of the page, he says, Mevi Ner Eitzel Ner. He connects, he conjoins the two Neros. Shtein Shal Mitzvah, and both for the sake of Mitzvah. Velo B'Kisem, which means Lo Al Yedei Kisem. He's not using some sort of an intermediary, a match, or a piece of wood in between. So in such a case, Lamandi Omar Bizui Mitzvah, Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. If Rav's problem is Bizui Mitzvah, is Mishraga L'Shraga Madlik. This would be permissible. It would only be prohibited if he uses a kisem. But mandi o mishum ekluche mitzvah afilu, even in the case of shraga l'shraga nami asur, because he's still diminishing the original ner chanukah. Okay, so that's what we have so far in the Gemara. Now, about 2 days ago, I photocopied for you a large page from the Sefer, which I think is here, if I can trouble you, right? This is a Sefer called Ratz Kitzvi. So I don't know if my photocopy is still on the table, or if you got it, or if you didn't. But this is, if you want to make a note of it, the Ratz Kitzvi, Simon Ches, the Simon that we saw until now, which discussed whether the Shlichus in Ner Chanukah and whether there's a Chovas Bayis and so forth and so on, that was Simon Tes. So we're going backwards to Simon Ches. And this Simon is called Madlikin Miner Liner. That's the name of the sugya. So in the first paragraph, he basically presents the Machlokes as to what Rav is all about. When Rav says, Ein Madlikin Miner Liner, is it number one, Mishum Bizui Mitzvah, or number two, Mishum Akhushe Mitzvah? And in the next paragraph, he summarizes the nafkamina. The nafkamina is going to be the komadlik shraga lishraga, mishraga lishraga. If there's a direct contact between the nair that he wants to light and the nair from which he wants to light, and there's no kisem, there's no intermediary stage, you know, where he lights a match or whatever it might be, then this is going to be the nafkamina. If Rav is based on Bizui Mitzvah, this is not called Bizui Mitzvah, because Bizui Mitzvah is when you take from the Ner Chanukah for something that's secular, mundane, like a match. But here, he's taking it directly to a Ner Chanukah. However, if the reasoning of Rav is because of Akhushe Mitzvah, which means, according to Rashi, it looks like he's diminishing the amount, the volume of oil, that's called Lahakrish as a Mitzvah. Right? It means like the lean cows, you know, you're making it lean because you're taking away some of its oil. Then, even if he doesn't use a kisem,
even though he's directly taking from one nair to the other, that's also awesome because that is a klushe mitzvah. He's also diminishing from the mitzvah. Now the balance of this essay is about the Shitas HaRambam. In order to appreciate what, you know, the difficulty and the very strange Rambam here in the sugya, we have to know that the Gemara paskins here not like Rav. This is one of the really exceptional cases where we paskin like Shmuel against Rav. Usually we paskin like Shmuel and Dini Mominus, he's the expert on monetary law. Here we're dealing with Issa Vehet, we're dealing with mitzvahs, and yet we paskin like Shmuel. Okay. In other words, it comes out that according to Shmuel, it's mutter to be madlik miner liner. Fine. However, even according to Shmuel, we're going to still have an afkemina. And it's going to depend upon the two interpretations of Rav. Meaning, Shmuel is arguing with Rav, but to understand the scope and the application of Shmuel's halacha, madlik and liner, you have to know which Rav he's arguing against. Is he arguing against the Rav of Bizu mitzvah, or is he arguing against the Rav of Aklushi mitzvah? So it works like this. If Rav is based on Bizu mitzvah, which means that Rav only prohibits it if you're using a kisem, but if you use it directly, it's okay. Then according to Shmuel, he argues with Rav, he's going to be matir to be madlik miner liner, and he's also going to be matir to be madlik al yidei kisem, because Rav himself was matir ner liner. Rav only holds that there's a bizui mitzvah in the case of kisem. So if that's what Rav was machadish, that although miner liner is also if you do is mutter if you do directly, but if you use a kisev as an intermediary, it's also. On that point, Shmuel is coming to argue and say madlik miner liner. So Shmuel is going as far as to be matir a kisev. But if on the other hand, if you hold like Rav that the iser of being madlik miner liner is because of a klushe mitzvah, which means that Rav's iser extends even to include a case of madlik miner liner directly. Because that too draws off the oil, diminishes the oil, that's called Akushe Mitzvah. Then Shmuel's only arguing when he's matir Leliner, he only intends to argue in the case where he lights it directly Miner Liner. And here Shmuel is gonna say there's no Akushe Mitzvah because he's doing it directly from Ner Liner. But in the case of Kisem, Shmuel might agree that this is also mishum bizui mitzvah. In other words, what is Shmuel denying here when he argues with Rav? If the thrust of Rav is bizui mitzvah, then Shmuel's coming to deny that there's bizui mitzvah. And therefore he would allow you, even in the case of kisem, since you're doing it for the ultimate good of ner mitzvah, and this is just an intermediate state, that's not called bizui mitzvah. But if you're going to tell me that Shmuel never argued about bizui mitzvah because Rav was revolutionary in terms of Akhlushe mitzvah, so then Shmuel would also agree that there is a problem of Bizu mitzvah. So if he uses a kisem, that's going to be Bizu mitzvah, Shmuel's going to agree that it's also. And he only argues in the case of Madlik Miner Liner, because here Rav is going to say that even Ner Liner is Akhlushe mitzvah. Shmuel never accepted this principle of Akhlushe mitzvah. Shmuel is limited to the principle of Bizu mitzvah. So halacha lemaaseh, we're going to have to determine whether or not we're allowed to take a kisem and use it as an intermediary to light our ner. And this is going to depend upon the two versions of Rav. If the version of Rav is bizui mitzvah, then it means Shmuel rejected bizui mitzvah, which means you're allowed to take a kisem and use it to take the esh. If on the other hand, Rav Shita is not Bizu Mitzvah, but rather Rav is talking about Ikhushe, then it could very well be that Shmuel accepted the principle of Bizu Mitzvah. He objects to Rav's extension of this principle of Bizu Mitzvah to include even Ikhushe Mitzvah. When you take one nair of Hanukkah and you apply another nair directly of Hanukkah, that's not called Bizu Mitzvah. Rav says it's also in any event because of Akhushe mitzvah. So if we accept Akhushe mitzvah, then Shmuel might be free to say that if you use a kisem, then there's a serious issue here of bizui mitzvah, and Shmuel might adopt the position that bizui mitzvah is prohibited. That's if you hold like the second lishna. Now, why is the Rambam a problem? So it works like this. The Rambam, which you'll see in a paragraph that says Vehine, on the left column in Hilchos Chanukah Perek Dal Halacha Tes, writes Mutar lahadlik ner Chanukah miner Chanukah acher. In what case is the Rambam allowing madlikim miner l'ner? What does it sound like to you? Miner acher. Is it directly or is it not directly?
Direct.
Sounds like it's directly.
Right.
Why did the Rambam tell me that only in this case? Mashma, the dafka miner l'ner mutar lahadlik miner l'yedekisem. Awesome. Oh, so far we're not doing badly, because it could very well be that the Rambam holds that we accept la halacha that the machlokus is about akushe mitzvah. And if the machlokus is about akushe mitzvah, even Shmuel would agree to the problem of bizui mitzvah. Oh, so what's the kasha? May ata yesh l'tmal aram shayin is bayer the imtaimo shel rabbim glal bizui mitzvah. Then we say that Shmuel would be matir even with a kisei. And yet, the Rambam seems to allow you to be madlik miner l'ner only directly, but not al yidei kisei. Is a yosu maskaras asugi shal tami shal rab mishum bizui mitzvah, lo mishum akushe mitzvah. Harei lefi Shmuel mutar afilu adei kisei. Vilu arama mashma shedafka yeshiros miner l'ner mutar, aval adei kisei mos. What's the cash? The Gemara is going to come to a conclusion that Rav's shita is based on bizui mitzvah, and therefore Rav prohibited al yidei kisem, but he permitted it if it's directly. Now, if that be the case, then if we pass like Shmuel rejects the concept of bizui mitzvah. He extends the heter not only to direct, but even to indirect. If that be the case, the Maskana Sasugya proves that you're allowed to use a kisem for the sake of another Ner Chanukah. And yet the Rambam only allows me ner l'ner. Why didn't the Rambam go a step further, which seems to be reflected by the Maskaras HaGemara, and allow you even al yidei kisei? And it seems that the Raivin himself is objecting to the Rambam for the very same reason. Omar Avram, al yidei kitsa. Meaning, why did the Rambam omit the fact that he's allowed to do this madlikim miner l'ner al yidei kitsa? Since the Maskaras HaSugya is that Rav is based on the principle of bizui mitzvah, and Shmuel does not accept bizui mitzvah, he rejects that, then the Rambam should have gone a step further. That's what the Rambam's point. Yet he should have allowed you even al yidei kisim, because the Maskaras HaSugya is that Rambam is arguing mitin bizui mitzvah. So I'm also, if somebody could volunteer to print this out or photocopy it, we're up to page Kuf Chaf Vav, and we're going to try to piece together the Rambam Shita, because at this point the Ravid is right, the Rambam should have gone a step further, he should have been Matir Kinsa, because Shmuel rejects the application of Bizui Mitzvah even in the case where he's using this intermediary, this Kinsa, this match, to get the Eish for his second name. Okay then, so we'll stop here. Just please make a note of it that we're up to page Kuf Chaf Vav. So that tomorrow, again, this simon is a very short simon, so we should be able to finish this in a jiff. It goes from Kuf Chav Vav to Kuf Lamed Al.
Let's go for the hurricane. That's the hurricane.
No, this is called Ratzkin's Feet.
Ratzkin's Feet.
Right.
I just sent to the room.
You did? Excellent. So we'll have the Ratzkin's Feet.
We have to install a high speed printer here.
But I don't know if we have those.
That'd be great. We have the big screen so I can, you know,
project it on the screen.
Ah, Max Sparrow on the screen.
Wow, that would be amazing.
The other day.
Oh, excellent. So those are the two pages we did today, and tomorrow we're going to start on the next page. You have the next page? Maybe I did the next page as well.
Okay, Kufav, yeah.
Kufay, Kufav are the first two. Do you have Kuf Zion?
Yeah.
Give it to me for a second.
I thought I should cancel the printer.
No. If there's only one copy, we need a bunch of extra.
You gave it out yesterday or the day before.
We just never got to it.
Okay, great. So we're going to get to it tomorrow. Okay, then? So tomorrow we'll start with Kuf Chav Vav. And you have, what else do you have there, Don? Show me. Up to what page?
This is Chet and Chet, and that's it.
Yeah, I think that's the end of the article. Let's see if I'm right.
There's nothing in the queue, so I already want
to. Ah, so we're missing Kuf
Lam. Let's just see if Kuf Lam is also relevant.
This is someone's putting it on
the paper.
Yeah, you know, this was printed on the printer. Yeah.
No, 2 pages.
Kuf. I know that Jeff did this.
Ah, that's why I didn't
you,
realize.
You gave it to Jeff and he printed them.
Very good. Okay, Rabbi Sam, we'll dive in for now.